When I was a young Christian, I was searching around for something to listen to that I thought would help me in my faith, and stumbled across a radio program called the Old Time Gospel Hour with Oliver B. Green. I don't know if anybody listened to him at one time or another. He was a hard-hitting, rough character, and he was my alter ego. So I listened to him. He was he sounded like he was up there in years. He had a hoarse, raspy voice. It was real gruff, like he spent his life smoking cigars or something. But he really knew God's word, and I like what he had to say about Christ and the Bible, so I would listen to him. And one of the things he said was that if you believed in Christ, one of the things in your life that God would put on your heart would be to share about Christ with other people, to let others know that God was good. And I didn't know how to do that. So he offered some help in doing that. He made tracts that he would give to people through the mail. And if you ordered these tracts, he would send them to you. And then you could give a message to somebody by handing them something about God that you think would have been helpful to them. And the first tract I ever ordered or came across my hands was a tract called Sentence to Die. It's a very intimidating tract. It talked about heaven and hell and eternity and how people really needed Christ today. So in my heart, I had this desire to do this, to tell about Christ. You might say I knew without hearing from the book of Jeremiah that God put a fire in my heart, you might say. And I think if you know Christ, there's a fire in your heart, too, that you want to share about God in some manner. So I took my gospel tract and I said, who can I give it to? Prayed, well, I'll give it to the people right next to me. In 12th grade, the locker's right next to me, Bruce Ramsey's locker and Lou DiNardo's locker. I had known these guys for a while. I sensed they would be helped by knowing God, so I put a gospel tract in each locker, Sentenced to Die. I had forgot that Bruce, who was really one of my best buddies in high school, that about a month previous, he was still getting over a conflict with another kid. He had gotten into a fight with another kid in school, and it was a kind of a violent fight. They had it out. They did hurt each other. They both got in trouble and all that. And so when he gets his track, Sentenced to Die, he thinks it's from this kid who's after him again. Not only is the kid after him, he's threatening his life. So I'm standing one day at the locker. He says to Louie, did you see this? And Louie said, yeah, I got one too. And I'm being quiet, you know. What do I say? Like to be that stealth Christian, if possible. So he turned to me and he said, did you put this in my locker? I didn't know whether he thought I was on the other guy's side or what. But then I preached my first sermon ever. He said, yes. And he said, what? Why did you do that? And I said, I don't know. I thought it was important. End of sermon. Bruce and Louie were relieved in a way that, oh, this doesn't mean further fighting. But there was something else coming toward their heart. They laughed about it. You know, oh, well, we thought it was from this other kid. And I laughed with them. But inside, I was thinking, it's going to be a long time before I try to tell anybody else about God and about how good he is. Because I felt like I fumbled the good news. I had something about Christ I thought was important, and I dropped the ball. It didn't go well in my mind. I don't know if occasionally you feel like that in your life, but I was committed to that point of being a timid Timothy, you might say. Timothy's a character in the Bible who was younger, and Paul worked with him, but Paul said, God didn't give you a spirit of fear or a spirit of timidity. Now, God might have given you a personality in the pew there that is more quiet and reserved. And I felt that way a lot of times as a younger Christian. If you'd ask me about sports, even though I was excited about it, I'd say just a little bit. Ask me about my family, I'd say a little bit. Ask me about the Lord, I'm still going to say a little bit. But God wasn't about to keep my mouth shut for very long. He's faithful to do that for you and I. And I knew that even though God would work through somebody with a timid personality, He could use me in some manner to pass on good news that I thought was really important for everybody to hear. And you might be here this morning with a outgoing personality, straightforward, strong, assertive. You know who you are. We know who you are. But God will use you with the strength that you have. He used Paul in that manner. Paul was very strong in his writings. Not so much so in his speaking, apparently. Or if you have a more quiet personality, God will use you as He used Timothy also. And so the Lord lets us know through His word, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. He says that to every believer. You'll be my witnesses. He says that to every believer. And go and make disciples. That's part of our calling. The next experience I had sharing about Christ was also that same year. I waited till about a month left in the school. I had taken a public speaking course. And I thought toward the end of the year, right at the very last minute possible, the 12th hour of repentance over here, I am going to give a speech about the Lord and say something good about Him, what He means to me. I'd encourage any junior high young person, high school young person to do that in school when you have a chance. So with fear and trembling, I do that toward the end of the school year. I figure I have one foot out the door. If I get any persecution, it will be very short-lived. So I share about Christ. And what I shared was very simple, that I thought God was more important than grades or even friends. And I thought everybody should believe in Him. At times I felt like the Apostle Paul when I shared in the book of Acts when he was speaking and people said, what is this babbler trying to say? If you feel like that's you sometimes as a believer, that's okay. Paul got the same word, right? They said, what is he trying to say? Paul talked about Christ, Him rising from the dead. And the surprising thing was after I shared about Christ, the response was something I did not expect. The response was overwhelmingly positive. Not that that should have determined whether I continued to share or not. People who normally didn't talk to me began to talk to me and say, thank you for what you said. People who had not shared about Christ before began to share about Christ in that class. Because I guess they figured, well, Daniels could do it. Anybody could do it. And the teacher even was very open and positive about it. In the midst of all that, however, there was another experience of fumbling. Without fail, the people who talked to me afterwards came up to me and said, thank you, but we never knew that about you. We are totally surprised. We would have never guessed, they were saying, that you were a Christian. We would have never guessed it. So in a way, I fumbled the way I was living. They didn't know by looking at me that I really did trust and love Christ. I asked one of my sons the other day, after being in school this year for just a little bit, I said, which one of your teachers do you think might be a Christian? You know, from all the classes you have, can you sense any of those teachers who might be a Christian? He thought for a while, and he's a pretty good thinking fellow. He thought for a while and he said, I don't know. He said, I can't tell. You know, God's word says our lives are a letter from God written by Him, known and read by everybody. And the message is coming pretty clear whether God's involved in our life or He is not involved in our life. Okay, people are gonna sense that. I had fumbled in my witness of lifestyle. And if you're in that boat, if that seems to hold you back and saying, well, I can't say anything good about God because my life is not quite right. No, if God tells you that, that's an opportunity to change and turn to Him. Well, then I'll turn to God while I'm sharing how good He is. And never be hesitant to share, you know, how God has helped you through the rough times and is still helping you. That makes your life more credible. More credible. People aren't going to believe you because they know you better if you say, Jesus came into my life and I've just been, just wonderfully close to the Lord ever since. You know that's not the case. So you talk about God's goodness, how he's helping you today. And if you're timid, he could work with your timid personality. Strong, work with your strong personality. But don't get down on yourself so much that you are not up about the Lord. That's what Paul had to remind Timothy of. He said, God will give you the right spirit. And remember, don't be ashamed to give testimony about the Lord. Don't be ashamed of that. God is not ashamed of us. He would welcome us toward himself, bring changes. And so there's no shame in talking about Christ. And we don't have to hold ourselves back on that. Also, there's no shame in terms of how we feel about other believers. Paul said, don't be ashamed of me. Maybe he said that because Timothy was a little bit uptight around Paul. Because Paul was really, he was a go-getter. And he ended up in jail for being such a go-getter. And I don't know how you would feel this morning if, any local church or our church or whatever goes through a time, key Sunday school teacher is in jail. There he is. Maybe we'll go somewhere else now, Or elder, he ends up in jail for being a little bit too much out there with his faith. Oh, I'm a little bit embarrassed about that. I'm ashamed. God is not ashamed of your brothers and sisters in Christ. And so Paul had to remind Timothy, don't be ashamed of me because I'm in prison. Don't be ashamed of me because I'm quite an aggressive Christian. And Timothy, I won't be ashamed of you. So there's no reason to let the people around you or how you feel about them hold you back from saying, I can say something good about God and I can pass on good news from him. Because the Lord will work. He loves us where we're at. Paul knew Timothy would fumble the gospel a few times. So he said, do the work of an evangelist. Don't be controlled by your own fear. He said he'd give you a spirit of power, love, and self-control. And right after he mentions that, those qualities are tied into testifying about the Lord. God gives us the power to do that because he's with us. He gives us the right words to say. I think I shared before, there are people who stutter and stammer in their communication abilities, and they're married, which means at some time they've communicated some significant things to somebody else. And that's where we're at with the Lord. I can be a Christian friend to somebody and tell what Christ has done for me. He gives us the power. Jesus does it with us. But he also gives us the motive. Here, I think the biggest motive, at least hit my heart when I was young and still does, is spirit of power and love. Your simple concern for the people around you will motivate you and compel you to share Christ with others. Shortly after 9/11, I made a point of getting a hold of two of my relatives that I was concerned about. I didn't know if they were at peace with God. I didn't know what kind of a world we were going to get into. So I'm thinking, I care about these guys. I want to connect with them. Over a conversation of a month's time, just able to share, ask open-hearted questions. Do you feel like you're at peace with God? Have you ever asked Christ into your life? What motivated me to do that? It was love for my relatives. That was the strongest motivation I had. Concern for them. I wanted them to know Christ for today and for the future. And would I have similar motivation for your relatives? I'm sure everybody in this room has a relative that maybe is not at peace with God. Could we be concerned about one another on their behalf? Would I be concerned about anybody else's relative in the neighborhood where we live? Love shows concern. In my life, when I don't share about Christ, Sometimes it's because, my back hurts or my knee hurts. I got to go to the dentist and I got to get that straightened out. And I get overwhelmed like you do with getting through these minor bumps in the road. And I say, when I'm done with the bumps in the road, then I will be a blessing to somebody else. But I find in my life, if I share about the Lord in the midst of my trial, in the midst of my hard time, because He's helping me in the hard time, then it is God will often use that witness. Many of you shared how when you visit your loved ones in a hospital or you're in a funeral home situation and you're able to share something about the Lord, God really uses that. Because people know in the midst of your greatest brokenness, Christ is still powerful and loving. So share in the midst of the imperfect situation you're in. I also know, and you would probably be the same, any hesitancy in saying anything about the Lord really ultimately is not out of fear, because God's more powerful than our fear, I think. It's not about our personality limitations. It's not about not knowing how. I think most of the time for me and others I listen to, it's just a lack of love. I just don't love the person enough to bother with them. I think that's a huge sin that God wants us to repent of. To have the love for people. What can I pass on to them? It would be the greatest point of kindness. I'll say, well, God cares about your life. Christ can be your Savior. And you can begin by praying about people around you. I knew a gal from Somerset Alliance Church named Kate Friedline. She shared with me one day. She said, I use my hands to pray for people. And this one here is Harry, and this one here is John, and this one here is Ken. And she just went down the list, you know. You may say, well, that's simplistic, but she remembers people she loves and she is concerned about. If you don't like the hand method, you could write their names in your Bible. God, give me a heart for people. Because the truth about who you are as an ambassador for Christ is stronger than all hesitations to maybe say a good word about the Lord. God's word says you're Christ's ambassadors. God makes an appeal through you. The fields are ready for harvest. Do the work of an evangelist. Andrew Murray said this, there's two sets of Christians. This is a kind of a toughie, but I think it comes from Scripture. Two sets of Christians, he said, soul winners and backsliders. You might say, well, that's pretty rough. But I think it's true. If you're concerned about others because of your walk with the Lord, that's a healthy thing. If you're not concerned about others, just say, it won't hurt the Lord to just say to Him, I'm a backslider. I need to turn with your help back to you. Which one would the Lord lead your heart to? Which one are you this morning? Those two friends I talked to you about at the beginning, Bruce and Louie, not through God working through me directly, but I planted a seed. Both of them eventually turned to Christ. So there's a happy end to the story. And follow the Lord today. And Bruce returned a favor to me. He was the first one in my hometown who invited me to a local church. So I fumbled the gospel to him. He picked it up eventually. And he said, and wouldn't you like to be with God's people? And I thank God for that. As Jesus said, it's blessed to give. Give good news about Christ. You could do this and God can work through you. I'm confident of that. Let's pray together and ask Him for help. Father, we have many people here this morning. And I think each one who knows You can do the work of telling good news. First of all, we do it by how we live. This speaks loud and clear. Whether we're embarrassed about that or need to make a change, You'll meet us at either case. And then Lord, bring to mind people you just want us to give some help to, like a beggar, one beggar telling another where the bread of life is. And pray that this would be a part of our everyday lives. It certainly does lead up to our Neighbor Day chance to be a neighbor. But beyond that, a daily walk with you. We do want that. Lord, I want that for myself as I grow in this area. I want that for each person here. It's so exciting to think that many lives will be touched through this group of believers who walk with you. Help us to love to tell the story, and always thank you for the true story of Jesus and his love. We pray this in your name. Amen.